Welcome to another episode of This Is Silly with the Hooligans. Mitch, Brad.
Hello.
Bird.
Good afternoon.
And we're back after a little hiatus last week.
Yeah, we used to do the show every 2 weeks, and we always had a ton of stuff to talk about. So we skipped 1 week, so we have a ton of stuff to talk about. I do like doing it every week, but...
We only had the one game, and that's all we had was really like the one game to talk about.
And to be fair, my basement was a disaster from moving, so I still haven't had it unpacked, and I said, you know what? I'm not cleaning up shit to have you guys over.
So here we are.
That's what I think of you.
So what's your excuse this week?
I didn't clean up either.
All right. Let's say the last time we joined you via the podcast, we were in mighty desperate states.
We were
on a 4-game winless streak. Things were looking dire. We all sort of said, time to make a big change. Since then, we've won one and drawn one.
They didn't make the change that we had expected.
No. And now things may have settled out a bit. I still think, we'll get to that. But let's talk about the two games. The first game against the Colorado Switchbacks, 1-2-1, goals by Herrera and Musa. And our own Matt Hutchinson made the lineup that day.
Yeah, I
think that that's no coincidence that the tides turned around when Hutch was in.
I do believe. We need to have Hutch on at some point so he can tell us what it's like to be a pro player. And
he's one for one.
He was behind the scenes. He was in the locker room. But anyway, that was a really good win. Switchbacks are a good team. They're in third right now, I believe, in the league or in the West. And that was a statement win. That was a win that had to be, you know, it was tough, and they put it all together and came out with a win.
And I'm not going to lie, going into it, I was expecting a loss.
I was a pessimist, to be honest.
There wasn't even a highlight of hope.
Now, after the last podcast and then, you know, when I was jumping off the Dale train, you know, all he could do...
I think that's his porn name.
All he could do was win the next game, and he did. And
he switched up the lineup a little more. Uh-huh. We talked about in Tulsa how he kind of did the, whatever you want to call it, the 5-3-2 or whatever you want to call it. More of a, almost a 4-4-2.
It's still two defensive mids. It's still, I think it's just Ambo playing a little further forward.
Yeah, and it's not really a two up front. It's a one with the withdrawn striker.
I think going forward it's a 4-4-2, but when they've got the backs to the wall, they shift very quickly to a 4-5-1.
Right. I do like Ambo in that position. That's where I think he's the best, is in that withdrawn striker role, making things happen, and it's no coincidence he's had a couple of good games where he's had chances. Mm-hmm. We can roll on into the Oklahoma City game. Not quite as good. A 0-0 draw. Played well.
Yeah, they're a good team too.
Yeah.
The issue with Oklahoma City is that I expected us to draw that game. The last four games we've played with them, they've been ties, mm-hmm. So I expected a draw. The issue is when you drop points to Seattle and Tulsa and RGV and whoever, you leave yourself no room for maneuver going and playing these better teams, you know.
Well, and I told Jeremy that night after the game, in a vacuum, that's a good game.
Yeah.
That's a good 1 point. I mean, some people were a little more pessimistic. I think we played well. I think, you know, a couple bounces didn't go our way. Jordan Roberts, that was a stone-cold penalty.
That was a disaster of a miss call.
But even Dale mentioned it, though. They had other opportunities, and they need to take those. You can't rely on...
Saying that, against go back to the Colorado Springs game, we could have won that game 5-1.
Yeah.
You know, we still didn't take our chances.
Right.
And
missed two sitters.
You know, and that's coming back to haunt us a little bit. That said, since last pod, 4 points out of six, not too shabby.
No, that's okay. That's, again, in a vacuum, mm-hmm. you know, where we didn't need 3 points, I'll accept that. But we need 3 points, especially at home. We need to be taking advantage of these opportunities.
Well, so someone brought to light the question, you know, where are we in the playoff hunt compared to last year? Last year, there was six made the playoffs, but there was less games. Seattle Sounders 2 made the playoffs with 42 points in the West. To do the same this year, we would need to get 1.6 points a game. We're on 1.28 right now, points a game. So we have to dramatically increase our... And that doesn't fill me with confidence, guys.
Well, and also we look at, you know, you start planning out these games where it's early in the year, we probably would have thought, Swope, there's an easy 3 points. They're coming on now, too. I mean, other teams are gelling. Swope's going to be a difficult game on Wednesday night. I still think we should beat them, but it's not a guarantee. I mean, obviously, if we lose to Tulsa, nothing's guaranteed.
Absolutely, yeah.
So,
Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah, and then we've got Sacramento, a tough game. I mean, Cincinnati, Louisville coming up. I mean, these aren't easy games.
That's the thing. You said Jekyll and Hyde, and that's kind of the underlying tone of all this, is that we don't know what team is going to show up lately. You know, is it going to be the team that can dominate? Is it the team that doesn't gel until the second half? I mean,
it takes us sometimes to go behind just to pull our fingers out.
Right. And that, you can't do that against these teams that we have coming up. It's not an option.
And there I'll say, I'm still thinking Dale's not the guy going forward.
Well, here's the thing, and this is where I was going with the points a game thing. We've never got 1.6 points a game over an extended stretch of time. So why do we think we're going to get it now? It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. I mean, we're going to be fighting for our lives.
Yeah.
Well, and here we are again. We're faced with scoring issues. That if it's not Herrera, you know, getting a goal from somebody up front isn't happening.
Yeah, I think, I mean, with Moose's goal in that Colorado game, I think he's officially in second place in St. Louis FC, if I'm not mistaken, for goals this season, which is great for Moussa, but, you know, your defensive mid or defender in this case shouldn't be one of your leading scorers.
Well, it was last year with Sam Fink for a
while. Well, that's true.
If Ambo's going to play alongside Irvin, Ambo's got to put some in the bag.
Yeah.
He knows that. You know, if that's where he's going to play. Shillo, he's got, two goals right now. He a couple more from
Shillo.
We
need more from him, yeah.
You know, Parker's, if Parker's going to play less wing, Parker's going to have to chip in too. But
Jamil's got to chip in.
I can't criticize Parker ever.
No.
Because the guy's quality.
We need goals from somewhere other than Herrera.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if Herrera.
And not from the back line either.
Especially if Herrera is taking that extra defender that they're putting on him. Yeah. That's got to open a slot for somebody to get in there and make them count. Ambo's had a couple good chances.
He missed one Saturday night.
Yeah, you know, we've seen Vince miss sitters. We've seen, you know, other guys hit the post, hit the bar. We've got to start converting those. They have to go in the net.
Because otherwise we're not going to make the playoffs.
Right.
Well, and that's the other thing, too, is that, you know, as Brad was saying earlier, as we go down, the other teams are coming up. You know, there's a good chance that within 3 weeks we could be out of it.
Well, and that's the point where we're at right now, 27, 28 points. I forget where. But we're all within 3 points of third place and the bottom of the table, you know. So all those teams are in the same boat as us. We can't hope for the other teams to lose because they're all playing each other too. All we can do now is start to win and put on points on the board and take care of our own business.
Yeah, it's still in our hands.
Right now, yeah, we're in that eighth slot. If we keep winning, we can stay there.
But what seems to happen is we'll win a game and then go on a slide.
Yeah.
Win a game, go on a slide. Win a game. You know, we had our game against Colorado. We were up and went on a slide.
Which to me was like, okay, here we go. Little confidence, beat a really good team.
And we played well against Oklahoma City. But
we didn't win.
I know.
It hurts.
But if,
like you said earlier, though, if we'd beaten Seattle, if we'd beaten, you know, those other teams that we played in that stretch, then that's a good win or that's a good draw.
You know, Tulsa went to Arizona United and won 3-2.
Right.
You know, that Arizona United are there for the taking. You know, we have to put them to the sword. You know, that they're the games that that leave me frustrated.
Right.
Saturday, I wasn't frustrated. As you say, I thought we played okay.
But it's an event.
But yeah, look back. If we get 3 from Arizona United, if we get 3 from Seattle Sounders 2, and we get 3 from Tulsa,
we're third.
That's 9 more points, and then we can afford to have a draw against Oklahoma City.
Yeah, we've left ourselves no room for maneuver here.
Right. So, coming up, Swope on Wednesday. We got to win.
Yes, it's not. Yeah,
I mean, you're to that point where there's no discussion.
It's do or die time, really.
And I think that's part of the thing. You know, not having a show last week, it would have been a lot of us just sitting there going, "Well, we got to win. Well, yeah. We got to win.
But, I mean, that could be our show going forward for the next month.
Yeah.
And it is. And it is. And we were in this place last year. We're in it again. You know, the cycle.
Again, we do need to, you know, reiterate, we're much better off than we were last year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, last year, we have reason to believe we should make the playoffs. And
I think that's what makes this year more frustrating.
Well, sure. Yeah. Last year, we'd already kind of given up by this point. I think we knew it wasn't looking good.
Yeah.
We may have been mathematically still alive, but we all kind of looked at each other and knew what kind of team we were last year. We're a better team now this year, and we just need to prove it on the field.
And we have, to a degree. I mean, yeah. The way we dismantled Vancouver in the second half, the way we played a very strong Colorado Springs team, you know, we have proved it, but just maintaining that momentum.
Jekyll and Hyde.
All right, let's move on a little bit. Tonight, we're coming to you live from Fenton, Missouri. Or not live, via recording device.
Imagine how many more we'd get if we did it downtown.
Well, here's what I mentioned. Downtown right now, Liverpool versus Roma at Busch Stadium. We've got a lot of friends there.
We tried to get players on tonight. They said nope.
They had tickets to the game. They were actually getting announced and introduced before the game.
Oh, yeah. They didn't get it on the Groupon.
They didn't get on the Groupon.
Careful, don't make fun of Liverpool.
Well, and some people have asked today on Twitter and Facebook, you know, why us three, I said we're doing a podcast, why aren't we going? For me, you know, sort of we've been down this road before. This is the first one of the major friendlies that have come to town that I haven't gone to. But I have no love for Liverpool or Roma. Didn't want to spend the money. And we've got a game Wednesday night that really matters. So if I'm going to tell my family I'm going to be gone,
for
an evening, it's got to be, of course, I skipped out to come here to the podcast, but, you know what I mean? I'd rather go to a game that matters than this one. But that being said, I hope everybody there is having fun, and I'm really happy for all my Liverpool and Roma friends.
The last 2 years, Manchester United have played in Ann Arbor, and they played in Chicago. I have not been to any of those games. So if I'm not going to go watch my own team, why am I going to go see a team I despise? Just because it's closer? It's not my thing.
And I it's no hate. I mean, I'm not one of those guys that says you shouldn't go. I just personally didn't go. So I hope everybody that does go has a great time.
And I think the thing is, too, is that if you look at the past 2.5 years, we've now had 6 major games now downtown.
Yeah.
Roughly. I don't remember if that's counting the women's game or not, and that's not a slight against the women's. It's math.
Yeah.
But.
Well, in those 2 games, I had something invested.
Right.
It was Team USA.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll go to that.
That's exactly where I was headed with
the
this.
First couple games. It was new. I didn't know if we'd ever get to see a game again. Again, I have no love for City or Chelsea, but it was the first one.
Right. It's been a law of diminishing returns. It started off big because it was 2 big teams. Yeah. Then we had Argentina, where there's a chance of seeing Messi. Yeah. I need to try to go see Messi. He didn't play, but there was a chance to go see Messi.
Real Madrid, Inter.
It's Real Madrid and Inter. Those are ginormous teams. Okay, you know, you're looking at 3 big games. Then you start getting into the Bosnia Ivory Coast, you know, you just start losing, you know, it becomes more focused instead of big picture games.
Here's the thing. Instead of looking at attendance, look at percentage of capacity. The first game was a sellout at Busch Stadium. It was a sellout. The second game, the Real Madrid Inter game, was 90% capacity. There were still empty seats. The third game at Busch Stadium, the Argentina-Bosnia game, was 36,000 there. That's, I don't know, 75% capacity at Busch Stadium. And then the next game, Bosnia-Ivory Coast.
I think it was 14,000 at that game.
You know, so that's 20% capacity of, you know, it is a diminishing return. And
I think it is people... It's not a new experience
but
anymore.
As more of these games come, people are getting picky. They go, I'll wait till see who the next teams are that come.
The novelty is worn off,
and to be honest, that's what concerns me about if we get MLS. What happens when the novelty wears off?
That could be.
Well, I do hope, and I use air quotes when I say hope there, that, you know, okay, it'll be different because it's our team, it's local, and I do think that plays a lot of this into it. Is that you know, these aren't our teams.
Yeah, I will say also something that they haven't learned from the first game that we tried to talk to them about, and every game since, if they would have offered a Luligan section at a certain price where all of us could go and sit together in a group,
yeah,
I think we could have got more participation. Yeah. The fact that if I'm going to spend $50 a ticket, which I know they went down to $19 on Groupon, but to buy early, get ready to go, I buy my $50 ticket. Matt Bird buys his $50 ticket. Well, where are you, Matt? Well, I'm in section 137. Oh, well, I'm in 157. You know,
great, I'm in 122.
Right. I mean, but if we said, okay, look, we'll get this section right here. We'll all be by the corner flag. Every Luligan can sit in this section for $35. Mm-hmm. I think we would have sold a lot of those tickets. They're still in cash grab mode.
Yep.
They're and it's hurting them because you look at the attendance tonight. I think it's expected to be 25,000.
That's 50%.
That's a lot of empty seats. But if they would have priced them all, it's at $30 instead of $55 or whatever it was, more people would have bought them.
This is the thing that drives me crazy. They think they're doing us a favor by letting us spend our money to watch them. Mm-hmm. And this was an issue I had with the Ambush 2 years ago when they started. They thought they were doing us a favor bringing the Ambush back.
Right.
And that was one of my big bugbears. And it's my bugbear with this and with these friendlies. That you're not doing me a favor.
Yeah.
You know?
So, yeah, for those guys who really want to see Liverpool fans or Roma fans, it's a great night out for them. They're going to have fun. I mean, they've got a mini Klopp set up where the cop set up where the Klopp.
It's a midget dressed up as Klopp.
Yeah. They've got a little section set up for Liverpool supporters, and those guys are going to have the time of their lives.
Yeah, people, great. I'm happy.
People like
for
Chris Lamacchia, who's come in from out of town, made a whole weekend of it, you know, came to a St. Louis FC game and going to Liverpool. I'm sure this is the greatest weekend of his life, and I'm happy for him.
But here's my thing, and this is, I made the point with United at Chicago last year. The cheapest ticket to watch United in Chicago last year was $90.
Jesus.
To watch a friendly. The cheapest ticket to watch United in the Premier League is $47.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing. The cheapest ticket to go to watch Liverpool in the Kop is $42.
Right.
The cheapest ticket to watch them in the Kop in
that
Bush,
section was $100, yeah.
Yeah. And it's, I can't wrap my head around that.
Now, granted, obviously, that's a distance thing. I mean, you know,
but you know,
but
what
the
though,
thing is that it's a value.
And you can get decent flights across the Atlantic. Now, I'm not saying $50, but I'm saying if you give me the choice of, Brad, you're going to go see Arsenal play. Mm-hmm. You can fly to San Jose and watch them play the MLS All-Stars, which is going to cost a decent amount. Or you can fly to London, take in a game at the Emirates and go see some sights and, you know, take your wife and have a nice weekend in London. And it's only going to cost you $500 more or $1,000 more.
That's not a choice.
You know.
Yeah.
There's more to it than just the game. Anyway.
As evidenced by our Colorado trip.
Exactly. So for those who are there, I hope you have fun. We're not checking Twitter right now. I'm sure it's an amazing game, and I'm sure you're all having lots of fun.
It'll be on the TV here soon.
At a preseason game that doesn't matter.
Hey, you know, I went to Evansville, Indiana, yep, and watched us against Indy 11.
Yeah.
But that's because it's our team.
No, so yeah, for those who are interested, I'm sure it's going to be great.
It's not my bag.
Don't call me a bad fan because I didn't go. I've gone to all the other ones. I've spent literally hundreds and hundreds of dollars on friendlies in St. Louis.
I went to Bosnia, Ivory Coast.
All right. Yeah. And I didn't get the Groupon. I paid full freight for that.
That was the worst.
Yeah, exactly. At that point in time, I think we get a free pass for a couple games.
That, you know what? That was the moment for me when I finally, you know what, people say, oh, well, to get soccer to work in St. Louis, you need the Bosnians on board. When they don't show up to watch their own national team,
yeah,
then that myth goes out the window.
Yeah. Let's move on to happier things. This Friday, there is going to be a FIFA tournament. And I don't mean FIFA as in the real FIFA. I mean
the
FIFA.
The corrupt version.
Yeah. I mean the version that's getting $15 for every video game sold through EA Sports. FIFA EA Sports Tournament is going to be on at St. Louis Hop Shop. There's information on the St. Louis FC page. It's for charity. So go out and have a few beers and play some video games.
I think a few of our members went down there last year, had a good time.
Yep. It's 21 and over, so don't bring in a ringer kid that can play. It is at a beer shop.
Now when you said now on to happier things, and Jerry Midlinch is gone. that's why I'm just sat here laughing my head
okay
off.
Well, that is the next thing on our list, so let's talk about Jeremy Lynch. not a big surprise that, he was moved out on loan. Hadn't had much time for us all season long.
I think the phrase "a change is as good as a rest."
Yeah,
for all concerned.
It's no surprise Jeremy was not in favor.
No, he was fifth choice striker. He was behind Herrera, Ambo, Cicerelli, Roberts,
and to be fair,
and
that's
Hutchinson.
That's not all due to talent. There were some issues. You know,
there were reports of him not getting along with teammates,
and that was early in the season. I think he's been better lately, but there were some dust ups in training and things that, you know, weren't public knowledge, but players talked about.
I think that happens in training more often than we probably.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
Anyway.
But the problem is that it doesn't get out.
He was not happy at his reduced role with the club, which sort of fed on itself, I think.
I think there's certain players, right? There's players like Sam Fink, who when Cochran comes in, Fink's like, I'm going to work my nuts off. I'm going to get in this team.
Yep.
Where there's people like Lynch and to a certain extent maybe Charlie Rankin too, where they've all their life they've been told they're phenomenal. Right. All their life they're told they're the best. All their life they've had every whim catered to them.
Yeah.
You're going to make it. You're the best. You're the best. You're the best. And all of a sudden Jeremy Allenbaugh comes along and says, I'm getting another striker to replace you.
Yeah.
And they just can't deal.
You know, and again, this is purely my opinion, but watching him on Instagram, I think a lot of times Jeremy was more into the idea of being a footballer than actually being a footballer. That, it, you know, it seemed to be more about the parties and the dressing up and the
but
lifestyle.
The thing is, I do think he's got it. I mean,
got the talent.
He was our biggest threat last year. He was our biggest threat.
And the thing was,
he was sulking this year. You could see it physically on the field when he would get brought in the 80th minute or the 70th minute. Instead of saying, I've got 10 minutes and I'm going to prove to you why I should be starting. Mm-hmm. There was lackadaisical play out there.
Yeah,
and at that point in time, plain and simple, screw you.
And it only reinforces the coach's earlier opinion. So, again, of course, as it had to happen, his first start his first time with Wilmington, he scores a goal. Good for him. Maybe this change will be good for him.
I hope it is. I genuinely hope
it is. A nice guy. I never had any personal problems with Lynch.
No, he looks at Harry. But I think... You look at Brian Gall. Brian Gall's left hasn't gone on and done well for himself.
Did not do anything for us last year. I mean, literally, he was one of the most disappointing players for us last year.
I think that's...
That may have been our expectations versus reality.
Yeah. I think we saw his name in life.
But he's definitely having better luck now that he's moved on.
I just think there's players that just don't fit. And it, for whatever reason, then...
But the thing is, though, it's like you said, though, with Sam... You know, you, when you get dropped down, you bust your ass to get it back.
Yeah.
And if you go to sulk mode, you're already done.
Yeah.
And you get to a point, you know, when you get cut from a USL team, there's not many choices. You know, you end up in a fourth division Germany. You know, you have to take it for what it is. You have to make these things happen. And you have to get your ass back out there. And if you're not doing it, Your career is going to be over, and you're going to be, you know, bussing tables or, you know, working in a 9-to-5 job, whatever it is. You know, you got to take this for what it is. I don't have a lot of pity.
So good luck to Jeremy. we wish him well.
No, absolutely.
But we'll be talking about Wilmington in just a few more minutes. it was his last year with us on contract, so he was likely going to leave anyway.
Yeah.
Let him get out there and get some playing time somewhere so he can try to get a new contract. And it actually opens up a little money for us if Jeremy wants to run out and pick up a player on loan, sign Hutch full-time, whatever the case may be. Let's talk about Brian Strauss of Sports Illustrated was in town this week.
I was really happy that he came to our game because we are tired of people in the media banging on about MLS without mentioning what we've got right now.
Right.
And that's local media, too.
And he specifically made the choice. He's in town to see the Liverpool-Roma game, and he contacted St. Louis FC and said, hey, I'd like to come in a few days early, just catch your game. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure some of it has to do with the hype about St. Louis maybe being an MLS market, but he wanted to come out and experience what we're doing now. So props to him, and he had some nice things to say about us on Twitter. And
no, seriously, I'm glad he took the time. I mean, we've got journalists in town here that won't come out.
Right.
You know, he was Sports Illustrated. He probably lives in D.C. or wherever.
And I'm sure it's not like he had, I just got 2 days to kill. But he took it upon himself to come a little early and see St. Louis FC. So
thanks, Brian.
Yep.
He's probably an avid listener.
I'm sure.
In all reality, though, he is a well-respected soccer writer. So to have him come out and give us that due credit, I mean, you know, even better. It's much more better received.
Also coming up, let's talk about Charity du Jour. Charity du Jour has been a rousing success, I think. This is where we're taking donations at the tailgate party every game now. This week's, they went to the Shop with a Cop program that the club was also doing. And this coming week, we'll be doing Mission STL. Go to missionstl.org. A friend of ours, Rachel Kirchhoff, has worked with them. They work with people in poverty in St. Louis, trying to make life a little better. So check out their website and make a small donation at our tailgate for that. Appreciate it.
Got a nice piece of mail today. Forgot to mention this to you when you showed up, but from one of the recipients of that, the special needs soccer organization. Yes. And it was a nice letter saying thank you for your donation. Every bit helps, you know, blah, blah, blah. It was nice that there was an effort put into thank you. So these places do appreciate our efforts. It's not just, you know, it's not like a certain breast cancer foundation where it goes to, you know,
it's not funding a summer home for somebody.
Right. This is, you know, we're picking locally affected charities that are actually not profiting, but they're receiving our funds and they're being put to use. It's not just liners.
And speaking of special needs soccer, I saw that they were out at Soccer Park today.
I was just going to mention that.
With
that
the Liverpool mascot, and I'm sure some of the other Liverpool dignitaries were on hand.
I saw somebody with an LFC STL shirt, you know, so there was a contingent of Liverpudlian. Yes.
Scouts.
So, yeah, good organization, Special Needs Soccer in St. Louis. So, yeah, we gave our donation to them. And, again, if you're looking for a charity to support, that's another good one. Speaking of charity, we've got the game on Wednesday night versus Swope. Like I said, our charity du jour bucket will go to Mission STL, but we're also having, the club, I should say, is having a massive collection of either canned goods or school supplies. They want to fill up an entire bus. So if you bring your donations, and I know sometimes it's hard to carry a bag of canned goods or school supplies, just bring them to the tailgate. If you drop them off by our table at the tailgate party, St. Louis will come down, or the team will come down and pick them up so you don't have to carry it all the way on the march.
They'll make Darian do it, I bet.
I'm sure. So yeah, let's embarrass them with the amount of school supplies and or canned goods we bring. Let's make a huge pile so Darian has to make multiple trips in a golf cart to pick it up.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah, and after the game, we can all just sit there and watch him haul school supplies back and forth.
Maybe he'll have to get a couple interns, those ones that hide out behind the stands.
So much stuff that he has to miss the game.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yep.
Yes.
Let's make Darian work. So, yes, bring school supplies, bring canned goods, and you don't have to carry them all the way to the gate with you. Just drop them off by the merch table at the tailgate party.
But you realize, though, we'll have to put them over to the side so we can still back out.
That's right. That's right. We'll put them by the trailer.
Yeah.
I want to mention before we go on, we've got one big topic and then a lot of questions. I want to mention our next podcast. You mentioned we were going to have somebody on tonight, but this Liverpool-Roma game got in the way of everybody's plans. Yeah. Next weekend, we're going to do a live podcast at ITAP, Soulard.
And?
Special guest will be the general manager for St. Louis FC, Jeremy Allenbaugh. We will take questions from the crowd there. And we're also going to give away a pair of tickets to the St. Louis Cardinals.
Oh, two pairs.
Two pairs of tickets.
Two pairs of tickets to give away. The Cardinals reached out to us. I picked them up the other day. This is for the game the following night, the Tuesday night game, that is the Soccer at the Busch Stadium event where St. Louis FC and the Ambush are going to be honored and brought out and all that kind of stuff. And the Cardinals gave us, with the tickets, you have to get the voucher.
Right.
That's the important part. It's not just the ticket. It's the voucher that gets you the soccer-style Cardinal scarf.
That's right. The Croatia scarf.
It basically is a Croatia scarf. It is a nice-looking scarf. It's a red and white checkerboard with the STL from the Cardinals logo.
Yeah, I kind of want to say that, you know, whoever's going to win these, they might have to give me one of the scarves.
That would be good. You can have the tickets, but we want the scarf.
I just want one of them. You know, there's two, you know, we're giving away two pairs, you know.
So I think we're going to do that podcast. You have to be in attendance to win those tickets.
You absolutely have to be in attendance. And it's also a great way to get in your questions to us and hear them be asked of Mr. Allen Ball live.
Yeah, so come out if you want to. If you don't know Jeremy, great to meet him. He's a very approachable GM, and you can ask him anything, and we will literally ask him anything.
It's funny, too, because, you know, at the tailgates, I see people that are often critical of him. They're the first to go up to him and pat him on the back and say hi.
A lot of glad handers show up there and pretend like they're best friends with Jeremy, and then as soon as he's gone, question his decisions. So.
Yeah, you know, cool to them. I mean, you don't have to show yourself out, but, you know, it's neat to see, you know, he's still out there. He doesn't care.
Right. So let's talk about the next big thing, the major topic for tonight, other than to buy tickets to the rest of the season's games.
Did you say there's only six home games left?
I think five.
Yeah. The season's only just begun.
I know.
We were sat here last week going, I can't wait till the schedule comes out.
I've got good news for you, Matt Bird. The USL meeting took place last week in San Jose during the MLS All-Star game, and they've decided to extend the season.
Huzzah.
We're going to have two more games next year, and 32-game schedule over 30 weeks. So there will only be a couple of the Wednesday games, but we're going to have 32 games instead of 30.
And none of them will be in Wilmington.
None of them will be in Austin, which we kind of expected. Austin is still...
They can't get a stadium.
Still looking to sort out their stadium situation. Wilmington will also be on hiatus. They're not folding yet. They're on hiatus in 2017.
I feel very sorry for the Wilmington fans, the faithful that have been...
Before we go on, I need to put an asterisk by that. That has not been officially stated by USL, but it is understood that that is the case.
Every time people bang on St. Louis fans, they go, you've had all these teams that have folded. Well, what's happened in Wilmington is what happened to AC St. Louis. Mm-hmm. And the fans get blamed.
Sometimes it has nothing at all to do with the fans.
Yeah. And it's the same thing. It's what has happened in Wilmington happened to you guys 6 years ago.
Yeah. These things happen in business. I hope they find a new ownership that comes in, and which, speaking of which, OC Blues may be having new ownership come in, which they desperately need. If they're going to keep up with the other teams out there in the West. So hopefully Wilmington will be back, and hopefully Austin gets their business taken care of and they can come back. Because also in this, the rumors that have leaked out from this meeting that took place last week, the Central Conference looks like it will be happening in 2018.
My summer's just disappeared. My 2018 summer has disappeared.
Lots of road trips to go to.
Lots of away games.
We will... Again, this isn't official yet, but it looks like we will be in the East next year. It's pros and cons.
The good thing is you don't have the 9 o'clock start times.
Our away games will be at a decent hour.
No, but I just...
It's harder to make the road trips.
No, what it is I now regret not going to Sacramento.
Yeah.
Yeah, that too.
We never had a chance to go to Portland. We never had a chance to go to Vancouver.
True, but... Yeah.
There's always the playoffs.
That's true. Next year.
No, I think the Western road trips were definitely more attractive.
Yeah.
Especially when you're talking about bringing the wife or kids along to someplace for the weekend. There's a few in the East that are worth checking out. But
Harrisburg is not one of them.
Harrisburg is not one of them.
Rochester.
Not one of them.
Yeah, Bethlehem Steel. Not really.
Jesus.
God, the list is... Honestly, I'm trying to think of one that I wouldn't...
Because we were going... We're going to Louisville and Cincinnati anyway. Let's not kid ourselves.
Right.
You know, and...
Honestly, you're not going to go to New York for the Red Bull because nobody's going to be there.
The only... Orlando?
Yeah.
Is a maybe, but that's an MLS 2 team.
Richmond is okay.
But they play Melbourne, which is right on the beach. So that one, you know, you could get Rebecca and your kids to go sit on the beach.
Yeah.
But there's only really Charleston.
Charleston.
Jesus.
I could get Eric at Montreal. Do you want to go to Montreal for a weekend?
But again, that one's not for the atmosphere of the game because 100 people show up. You could literally outnumber their supporter section if you show up.
They have a supporter section?
But what will happen next year, though, is with the 32 games in 30 weeks, you're going to have some Wednesday, Saturday games where if it's an away trip to Canada, it's going to be Toronto on a Wednesday, Montreal on a Saturday. You can do a twofer.
Yeah.
And I think that to me is attractive.
So, again, we'll wait to see because it'll be after the first of the year when the schedule comes out. You know, we always sit there, you know, tapping our fingers waiting for that schedule to come out. But I don't know.
After the first of the year.
Well, March.
Waiting.
Yeah.
Waiting.
3 weeks before buffering. The first game.
Yeah. So, but we are excited about 32 games, 30 weeks. We know Reno is joining the league next year. There's rumor that maybe another team will join, which I would think if it would be an MLS 2 team that doesn't take much to turn it on. Yeah.
It's going to be FC Dallas 2 then, right?
Could be Dallas. Could be. There's rumors of the Rapids maybe doing an MLS 2 team.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned the Rapids.
So, who knows?
And if they do one, that's going to be terrible for Colorado Springs.
I mean, they were kind of insulated. I think most of the people that were at Colorado Springs are Colorado Springs fans. But like I said, they're probably also Rapids fans.
Yeah.
Which kind of makes it weird for them rooting for, you know, the B team in a different city. But
yeah.
But Charlotte Independence are screwed because half their players came from Colorado. Yeah.
Well, and let's don't forget, though, Colorado Rapids might have a 2 team, but it might not be in Colorado.
Yeah.
You know, they could put it anywhere. So, who knows?
Which would be nice if they did, but...
Kroenke will put it
I was going to say, is Kroenke really going to do this?
Kroenke will do it as cheap as possible.
That's why I'm saying he won't do one.
So, yeah, maybe it's not Colorado. No shit.
Yeah, he'll probably just set it up so it's just running out, you know. Fuck that guy.
Selfish reasons, I'm just not a fan of going back in the East. I enjoyed playing.
I do like being able to catch the away games at a watch party. This year's watch parties have been
few and far between
because a 9 o'clock game, I'm an old guy. I can't go down to Soulard at 9 o'clock and, you know.
Well, not only that, but I tap, you know, at 9 o'clock on a Saturday night. It's a whole lot different.
Especially if there's a Blues game in town or a
Cardinals game.
They're packed with the other sports fans. So,
yeah.
We'll see how it goes. All right. One more thing before we get to questions. Don't know if you guys caught this, but there was another Chupacabra sighting in St. Louis.
That was awesome.
This time it was in O'Fallon, Illinois, or O'Fallon, Missouri area. So, just keep your eye out, guys. There are Chupacabras still wandering among us.
They're going to steal your souls.
Yes, they are. Okay, let's do some questions, and these can just be free-for-alls. Since we don't have a guest, anybody can feel free to take that. Ryan Brockenschmidt wanted to know thoughts on the latest lineup. We talked about that a little bit, and specifically Sam Fink. What do we think about Sam Fink not being a starter lately?
You know, There's several things to this. First, I'm never worried about Sam getting back into the lineup. You know, it's not necessarily a reflection of Sam's play. I don't think it has anything to do with his play, actually. I think it completely has everything to do with the makeup of the team, and Dale was looking to do something different, and he was just odd man out. His past couple games, he's been rock solid like he always has been. He's not going anywhere. So I just think he just, unfortunately, if it comes down to him or AJ... AJ's the better guy right now.
Moose and AJ are solid.
At this point, you can't take Moose out of the lineup.
There's an odd man out, and unfortunately, Sam.
Moose has quietly been handling business, and one of the most valuable players, I think, even through our losing streak or our winless streak.
He's been one of the best players since day one, yeah.
AJ's solid. Moose has been playing well. Something's got to give. That's where I think it's at. Again, I think Sam will be fine, but just not the favored choice right now. You know,
happens.
Unless there's something going on that we don't know, but I haven't heard any rumblings, so maybe.
I'm not worried about it. I'm just thinking, sorry.
Jim Sullivan wants to know Dale's future. I would go back to the last podcast. I'm kind of in the same place. Yes, he has gotten a win and a draw since then, but I don't think Dale is the long-term solution for St. Louis FC.
Again, we need 1.6 points a game, and we've never had that since day one. To get in the playoffs, that's where we're at. And you know, and every time we drop points, that points per game average that we need is going to go up. Yep.
Mitch?
Same.
Lance Southwick. Lance is the individual who won our tickets to the Roma-Liverpool game, so I hope he's there having fun tonight.
It's a big worldwide technology signboard right there.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. He wanted to know, you know, we heard a while back in that little MLS update something about they want to get the inner city involved. They want, you know, more of an outreach there. And he's wondering, you know, why isn't St. Louis FC doing it now? I think it's money. And I think it's, right now we're still a function of St. Louis Scott Gallagher. And love it or hate it, Scott Gallagher has their way of doing things. I think once you get some more MLS money in, I think that'll change. And they can start going after other markets. But right now, they're supporting St. Louis Scott Gallagher, which is a pay-to-play system. And we can have a huge argument about where we think pay-to-play falls in the hierarchy of things in U.S. soccer. But I don't think the money's there to do a big inner-city push right now.
I think they're choosing to put their money into the existing teams that they have rather than... And let's be honest, it's not economically wise. You know, when it's a business, they need to pay the bills, and giving away team spots is not. It's not business.
You know, at some point we should probably have Pat Barry on to talk more about that side of the game. I don't know about St. Louis Scott Gallagher, but
I haven't got a clue.
Maybe he could come on and talk to us more about the academy part of our program now and going forward if MLS is, you know, come to pass.
I'm just still glad we've got a team. I don't know enough. As I say, I'm with you, man. I don't know enough about Scott Gallagher or what they do. Yeah. It doesn't really, to be honest, interest me. You know, they've been doing their thing, and there's a team attached onto it now that I support. I don't know anything about, you know, the Manchester United under 19s team either. I mean, do you know anything about the Newcastle academy system?
They got to be shit. Or else they'd be starting for team.
They're based in Ivory Coast and wherever other minority
They're in France with Arsenal's youth.
Yeah, exactly.
Pat Ryan says there are only 5 home games left. Who are you most excited to see? Obviously Louisville, because they're our, you know, plastic rival.
The only team that I'm looking forward to see now, to be honest, is San Antonio. We've not played them, never played them. That's the only away game I'm not going to for the rest of the season, too. I mean, that's where we're at. And I'm going to Florida that weekend instead of going to San Antonio. It is what it is. But San Antonio, that's the team I want to see.
Mitch?
Whoever we draw in the playoffs. I'm serious. Yeah. I don't... You know, from here on out, it's all just...
We need wins no matter who we're
right,
playing.
Right, right. So I don't care who it is. I want to get into playoffs. I don't want to be on the outside looking in again this year. Last year, I could stomach it because we were an expansion team and these things happen and, you know, that's part of life. No more. Yeah. You know, you don't get 2 years. How about you?
I mean, like I said, Louisville, just because it's Louisville. Sacramento. I'd be interested to see Sacramento. I've never seen them in person. So that'll be good. David Lemon wants to know, who's more at fault, and this goes back to our coaching question, for poor play. Is it Shilly or is it the players?
Individual mistakes is the players. Yeah. You know, sloppy play is the players. I mean,
game plan, tactics, that's on Dale.
Formation, tactics, hoofball.
Motivation's both of them, I think. But players should be able to motivate themselves. But
the players are still, you know... When players can't pass it in a straight line, that's on them, you know. I mean,
and you know, we talked about, you know, that game in Tulsa where Vince missed the ball right in front of the net.
Dale,
that's not Dale's fault. Yeah.
Yeah, Dale can't score.
Yeah.
Well, he could.
But is it that once they cross that white line, to a degree, it falls on the players.
I'll agree to an extent. I think the one thing, and this goes for any sport, it's not necessarily, you know, just soccer. It's base, well, and it's hockey, it's football, it's basketball. It's the planning for the team that you're playing, and having a plan A, plan B, plan C. You know, okay, if they do this, this is how we're going to counter. If we're going to do this, we're going to. You look at Mourinho managed teams, and when he was with Chelsea towards the end, they accused him of just parking the bus because he didn't have a strategic balance to go up against some of these other teams. And I think that kind of happens with us at times, that there's not the strategic balance to, okay, well, if they come out running and we wanted to set the pace, you know, a lot of times in the post-game conferences, you'll hear Dale talk about, well, they came out and we wanted to set the pace. Well, okay, we didn't. So what are you doing to counter it? Those kind of things are on the coach. That being said, as you said, cross the white lines. It's on the players. Missing a ball from 6 yards out into an open corner, there ain't nothing a coach can do about that.
Yeah.
Bradley, you?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with all those points. And then I'll just add the third option. Sometimes it doesn't matter. A change needs to be made, whether it's the coach's fault or the player's fault. Sometimes you just need to make a change to change things. And most of the time that'll land on the coach, because it's easier to fire one guy than it is to fire a whole team.
It doesn't matter how they're playing. If Dale's lost the confidence of the dressing room, it doesn't matter.
And
you will never get the dressing room.
And
back.
As we've pointed out, you know, the greatest of coaches gets fired. I mean,
yeah.
Mourinho was fired at Chelsea.
Twice.
You know, yeah, exactly. But I'm sure you're glad to have him at Manchester now.
I'm going
to
interrupt. Yeah, hold on. I'm going to interrupt for a second here. I'm watching the Liverpool game.
Yeah.
And they just scrolled across the STLFC upcoming schedule.
Oh, that's nice.
On the scroll boards.
There you go.
So, you know, that's a good sign. People are going to get to learn about that.
Come to those games, people.
Yes. Now, anyway, back to having Mourinho at Manchester United. Sorry.
No, every great coach gets fired. He'll be sacked at some point. Yeah. Sure. You'll have enough of him. next question. This is an interesting question. I like this question, and I'm interested to see your guys' answer to this. Michael Decker wants to know, who's the most underrated St. Louis FC player? What do you think?
Matthew Hutchinson. No, I say...
I know who you're going to say.
We know it's going to be Parker with you.
There's a few.
Go ahead.
I'm really missing Drew.
Yeah.
I'm really missing Drew.
But Connor. He's not our player. He's a Chicago player.
Understood. Understood. But he sat on the couch, so
yeah.
He's our player.
Yeah.
And aside from Parker, I think Tyler David.
Yeah.
Tyler's been a nice surprise.
Tyler David. Again, when they pushed Musa and Bond up to play together, Tyler was on the outside looking in, and... you know, I'm glad now that he doesn't have to come and play drums with us. He's actually busy on Saturday night. So,
yeah.
I mean, I think Tyler David's a quality player, we've not been able to see it because, I mean, Musa and Chad have been pretty solid.
Yeah, and Tyler's been playing real well when he got in.
Mitch, underrated player?
I'm going to defer to you for a moment on this one.
I've got a couple thoughts.
Eduardo Cortes,
the third string keeper that none of us have ever seen.
Yeah.
On play, I've seen him, but I haven't seen him play. I'm going to say somebody who's starting to get – I agree with Parker, of course. I think Parker's one of our best players. Underrated, maybe Mitch Lurie. He's started to get some games now and starting to really look like he belongs in there. So maybe he's somebody who was underrated early in the season and maybe coming on. But as far as somebody who's been around the entire time who – doesn't get the credit I think he deserves, and a lot of times even when they bring him in the game, he catches shit from people who aren't necessarily observers of the game. Jacob Bushu, I think he's an underrated player. Now, he's being brought in a lot of times now when the game is well and truly lost.
Yeah.
There's nothing he can do about it. But I think he's a quality player that gets overlooked in our lineup, maybe because he's one of those guys that can do a lot of things well, but none of them superbly. But I think Jacob's underrated.
I'm going to go, even though...
We're just going to go through the... We'll go through the entire squad.
Yeah.
Taka. Because I like Taka.
Yeah, always pick Taka.
Taka is just... This is the man. He's like our firstborn. You know, he was the first guy we knew.
Yeah. Okay, Mitch, who's your underrated player?
Even though he technically isn't, but I'm going to go with him for this reason, and you'll hear it out. I'm going to go with AJ Cochran.
Okay.
Obviously, he's got a great pedigree. Everybody knew who, you know, coming in, what to expect out of him.
He's played every minute of the season this year.
And I think that's the first part, is that he has played every single minute, and he hasn't screwed up. He hasn't made a mistake. You don't see him.
I'll say underrated in the sense that nobody bangs on about him, but he's just so good at his job, we overlook it.
Yes, that's... Thank you for explaining my point. Take the words out of my mouth.
He's as good as we could have ever imagined him to be.
It's much like Sam was last year, but the thing is that even with Sam last year, he'd step out and get a goal. AJ's not that step out and get a goal guy, but he's the guy that lets the other ones do.
AJ may be our highest quality player out on the field. As in, if the MLS could take any guy from our lineup for a team, like our Chicago Fire.
Yeah.
If they could pick anybody on our team up and just slot him in as a starter.
It's him.
It's AJ.
It's it. There's no question. And that being said, too, is that the confidence that he brings everybody else around him, that you see, you know, Dixon being able to make a run. You see Bond being able to, and Musa being able to push up. It's like
he's a Barklage player. He's a guy that once they're in there, you have no doubts, you have no fears. You're not going to be screaming his name in anger.
Barks was the one I was. That's why I said I defer, because I was trying to decide between the two. You know, he's had a bit of an injury string here as of late, but again. Every time you see him run up that flank, you see him covering, we're a better team when he's in there.
I even though we all knew about AJ, he's not like caught us by surprise, but underrated player means we don't appreciate how good he is.
Yes.
And we might not appreciate how good AJ Cochran is.
Yeah, I agree. And I didn't put him as underrated because I rate him highly, but we don't talk about him a lot. Yeah, we don't talk about him as much as we should talk about him.
I mean, and that's a funny thing, too, is that, you know, and we've had this conversation when we're talking about man of the match buckets. He could win every game. He and Musa,
right?
Every game, you know, okay, well, who do we have? Well, nobody's really stood out. We always can give it to them because they've always been great.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is that familiarity breeds familiarity. If you get an 8 or 9 off Parker or AJ every single game, it's hard for them to stand out because you just expect.
Yes, that's the other problem.
Put it this way, if you were to lose somebody off of your team due to injury, AJ would be the last person I would want to lose. Maybe Herrera for his goal scoring, but as far as a rock solid performer, AJ's...
That's a massive hole to fill.
Yeah, and I don't think we have... I mean, yes, we have Musa and Fink that can both play that position, but I think he's a bigger loss in that slot other than Herrera, maybe.
It changes the entire makeup of that back line.
Yeah. Michael Decker had a second question. He was asking, last week there was a fluff piece about former Rams players wanting to be involved in the ownership in MLS. One of them was Aeneas Williams, great guy, lives in St. Louis, loves the community. One of the other ones was a former kicker.
Uh-huh. Chris Long was one of them.
There you go. Again, that's fine. These guys will be minority owners. The question is...
We've got dozens of them.
Who's going to be the big owner? And we kind of know who a couple of the names are that are being bandied about. And these are guys with lots more money than, you know, these guys.
But aren't those two players now East Coast-based?
No, Aeneas Williams lives in St. Louis still, mm-hmm. I think.
But one of them's friends with Kraft, right?
Chris Long. Well, no, Chris Long was...
I don't know.
He's out of the greater Foxborough, Massachusetts
and
area.
We're hearing that it's a Boston-centric ownership thing.
It's not the players.
No. But they're friends of a friend who's...
Right,
you know,
maybe,
it's,
right.
It's Big Poppy, David Ortiz.
You know, they hang out at the same country clubs, listen to the same conversations, go, oh, I'll have a piece of that.
Yeah.
You know.
Maybe it's Tom Brady. And he'll bring his wife with him.
Yeah, maybe we'll deflate our balls. So if the Rams players are involved, that'd be nice. I mean, you know, some of those guys really did have a good time here in St. Louis, but those aren't the owners that we're need.
Well, they've just been told they need deeper pockets than...
Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
We heard today a rumor that the new expansion fee is $200 million.
Jesus. And I remember when
$200 million.
When the MLS to SDL conversation got started, you guys gave me shit for saying it was going to be 200 because the last one was 150.
It was going to be 100 million. Yeah. Brad sat there and went, Bert, Matt, you need to believe me. It's going to be 100 million. I'm like, nah, not for St. Louis.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, holy $200 million. You can buy Aston Villa for $90 million and they got a stadium. They've got a brand. They've got a chance to go to the Premier League. $90 million. You can buy Aston Villa.
Move them here. No, I know. It's crazy. It's $200 million is crazy money. Because unlike the other
leagues.
And
that doesn't even come with the stadium.
Tell you what. NASM,
yeah, and then add $200 million for a stadium.
You're looking at a $500 million.
You haven't
investment.
Got a player on the field yet.
Yeah.
You haven't put a front office together
and
yet.
And unlike the NFL, unlike Major League Baseball, unlike the NBA, unlike NHL, there's not a big TV contract where you get $100 million back.
They are betting... With that expansion fee, they are betting that MLS TV outstrips Major League Baseball in the next 20 years.
That's insane.
I'll concede it is now the second highest or whatever, third highest attended league. You know, it's past hockey, and I think it's past the NBA.
I also don't trust
MLS
numbers,
but the
though.
TV numbers we know are dire. Yes, they're going up every year, but they're not big. So they're not going to get one of those big, huge TV contracts for at least 10 years.
Well, and how long will it take for you to get return of investment on $250 million?
Make it $400 million because you got a stadium,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, $250 million. 200 and then 50 for half the, you know, for half of a $100 million stadium.
Right.
But it's not going to be 100. It's going to
be
a 200.
It's a $200 million stadium, so that's another, if you split it, let's just say they split it.
Yeah,
with the county or city.
So that'd be $100 million, so you got to get back $300 million.
And that's not counting your
And that's not counting payroll.
Offices and, you know, equipment and, you know.
Practice fields and all of that.
By Olympiacos, you can be in the Champions League every year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
What are you going to, seriously, that's the alternative. You can buy an existing club with potential to either be in the Premier League or the Champions League, or you can buy a non-existent franchise outlet.
Because you're not actually the owner of the players.
Here's what it comes down to. It's going to be a guy with a lot of money who wants to be in that owner's club with friends. He's got a friend that owns an MLS team, and he wants bragging rights.
He wants to hang out with Robert Kraft.
But the thing is, all right, the risk may be greater, but the reward is so much greater. And it's ironic that we're talking about this now because you're watching the TV with two American owners owning European teams.
Yeah.
Because the reward is so much greater. The return on investment is so much more, you know. I just don't see how you get your money back.
You don't. Well, and that's the thing.
It's got to be either you really love soccer and you want to be an owner, or you're just a big boy that wants to play with big boy toys, and Jurgen Klopp?
No.
Derek Gottman's daughter.
Derek Gottman's daughter next to her.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
She's the ball girl?
Right next to Jurgen Klopp.
Yeah. Very nice.
Derek said that she was going to be the midfield ball girl.
Oh,
that's
very
awesome.
Nice. So there you go.
That was cool.
I was just like, whoa.
No, that's good. That's awesome. But so
it's somebody that just wants to splash the cash, and I'm going to buy a bigger yacht than my friend.
I also think this is where, and this is a conversation that we had on Saturday when we were discussing Rocco, ironically. But I do think that the management rights of the stadium are a big part of it too.
That comes into it.
You know, okay, yeah, I'm going to spend $200 million on this team, but I'm going to get back $50 billion for concerts and events and the like.
Now my question is, how does that work if it's half publicly financed?
It's the management rights. It's the same thing they did with the Scott Trade Center.
Okay. You know what? They still have... They still have concerts at Villa Park.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're buying that state. You can buy a team in Europe with a stadium, and you can still have concerts at Villa Park and friendlies at Villa Park. I went to see... you know, Brazil v. Sweden at Villa Park.
Yeah, but I mean, you got to fly over there. This is at home. No, I'm not being facetious. It's
one thing having a yacht.
I can say I own.
But do you want to row your yacht in the Lake of the Ozarks, or do you want to Lake Geneva?
Right.
And
but these kind of people, they don't just have one at the Lake of the Ozarks. They have both. And you know, when you have that kind of money, you're looking to have both. And this is usually the first step into that club.
I it's hard to believe that it's 200 million. Now, maybe
that's garbage, just saying, you know what, let's just get people talking.
And we'll be thankful that it's 100 million. No, but instead of us saying, I'm never paying 100 million.
But you know what? There's cities out there, like Cincinnati, like Sacramento, like San Antonio, that might go, okay.
That are so desperate for it,
Who do we write the check out to?
Yeah.
They may just do that. You know, you may get people in St. Louis going, sweating, going, oh my God, 200. There may be cities out there going, okay.
Sacramento and San Antonio have put so much of their eggs into that basket. It's like they're being committed. Desperate. Once you let the buyer know or the seller know you're desperate, they can get whatever they want. Yep. St. Louis is smart by saying, maybe 100 million.
We'll investigate.
Yeah. Let's see how bad they want us. You should be the pretty girl they're trying to get. Don't be the desperate girl begging for the date.
But that's the thing. Garber keeps saying that he sees us as an ideal market. He wants to be here. He wants to be. How much of a cut is he willing to take to put a team here?
No, he's not. He's not going to.
Well, you say that, but Chicago and Kansas City want us in the league.
Kansas City does not want us in the league because of the homegrown player rule.
No, that's true, too.
I mean,
Columbus do not want Cincinnati in the league.
For the same reason.
Yeah. And it goes back to the USL. I've been to a lot of away games in the USL. To go down to just two away games, Sporting KC and Chicago.
You're right. You're right.
It becomes a big deal then. And you know, you mentioned earlier the TV rights. You know, we're sitting here watching this game that's being played in a baseball stadium. The big thing with all these baseball teams now, the Angels, the Yankees have done it, the baseball rights, they're not getting the national TV broadcast rights. It's the local broadcast rights. And you're not going to get that with MLS. You know, KPLR isn't going to pick it up. Fox Sports Midwest isn't going to pay for it. You know, the MLS is a internet streaming. That's where their bread and butter is because that's their fans. That's MLS 3.0. You know, there's not the money to be made on the internet like there is in broadcast. You're not going to get that. There's nothing recoverable there. Where it is, it's got to be based on the sponsorships and the merchandise sales. And that's not enough.
That's a lot of money to make up.
Yeah, but the sponsorships are like Advocare, Herbalife, they're all Ponzi schemes. I mean, seriously.
Yeah. But they're willing to pay.
Well, speaking of which, Sacramento took care of their jersey sponsorship for when they get to MLS.
Yeah.
They've already sold a jersey sponsorship for MLS, and they're not even in the league. Dressed for MLS. That's the hashtag.
There you go.
Provel for MLS.
I did like that one.
That was great.
Next question. Kyle Igel, or Igel, I don't know how you pronounce it. He wants to know our thoughts on substitutions. We've talked about this ad nauseum. I think Dale leaves it for too late. I don't think he subs tonight.
I think there's some of them that are good. I think Jordan Roberts coming on with 20 minutes to go, terrorizing defenses.
But it's not 20 minutes to go. That's the problem.
Well, before. This week it was, and I don't think I didn't have a problem with the subs this week. Now, we're going to talk about another guy who wants to know specifically about Ambo and Herrera and Cicerelli up front. But this week I thought we weren't chasing the game. We weren't down.
No.
And what we were doing was working. So Dale's thought was probably we just keep doing this, we're going to get a goal.
I think that's also what happened in Vancouver. We were playing so well. He was like, it's not broken. I don't want to fix this, you know.
But there have been games, and we've been very critical about you know, waiting till the 80th minute to bring somebody in. Yeah. That's too late.
Yeah.
Maybe too late with the subs is what I would say.
But not recently though either.
Roberts coming on this week was a perfect example of doing it right. Because he came on, he brought Hellfire with him, got clearly fouled in the box. That was missed call. Even Brian Strauss caught that too as well. You know, that's what...
It's funny, right? Because I was driving out and I seen Chad Bond. And I said, Chad, can I have a word with Jordan? Jordan got out. I'm talking to Jordan. I said, Jordan, was it a penalty? He's like, yeah. Yeah, he was. 100%. Chad Bond was the next one. Nah, it was a dive. Should have been yellow carded. Nah, it's a dive.
There you go. That's the brotherhood of teammates there right there. Pussy, get up. All right, let's follow that up with Anthony Silva. He wanted to know specifically about both Fink. We already talked about Fink, but in the subs in relation to Ambersley, a lot of people were upset that we brought off Herrera and brought on Vince, but they thought we should have taken off Ambo and brought on Vince. I'm okay with that move, and here's why. It's not a like-for-like situation. If you bring off Ambo and bring on Vince, you're changing things. And I think Dale thought what was working, and Herrera had run his ass off. Bring in Vince with a little fresher legs, but keep Ambo doing what he was doing because it was working.
I'll take that a step further. And then you have a game Wednesday night.
Boom. Boom. You know, I bet Ambo doesn't start Wednesday.
Right.
Herrera will start Wednesday. Ambo won't start.
Right.
They'll probably have Barclay back, or, you know, they'll play Hardware. Where, you know,
I imagine think, that I you'll think, see Hardware
I think
in
Dale
Ambo.
Had an eye on Wednesday.
I did not have a problem with him pulling Herrera off. And I didn't have a problem with him leaving Ambo out there this week.
Again,
Ambo played well.
I did too. Yeah.
Assuming that you don't, assuming that Ambo doesn't start this week, we're right. If he starts, and we look like idiots.
Well, and we've had that problem with Dale before. We thought he's been a little too tied to Ambo in situations, but I think Ambo's been working lately, and I think
we found the role that works for him. He and Herrera have good chemistry.
And this game, he had a couple of good opportunities, and he's in there behind. You mentioned, Matt, he does need to take advantage of those opportunities, but he fits in that slot right there.
I think him and Herrera have a little connection.
Right. And I think he wanted to give Herrera a break
for Wednesday.
For Wednesday, and Vince bring him in. Vince, we know Vince isn't a target man. Vince doesn't like to play that role. Let's just put Vince in Herrera's slot and see if Ambo can create for him.
And we had Roberts coming on, too. That's the other thing, too, is that does play into that as well, is that now you've got two creative guys that can make things happen on their own.
Right.
That don't.
And I've said it hasn't come true, but I've told you this last year, Matt, and I've said it to anybody who would listen, and I've been proven wrong and wrong and wrong and wrong and wrong by Ambo. My spot for Ambo is picking up those rebounds and capitalizing on the second shot opportunities. He's not doing it, but that's what he's there for.
But that's exactly the one that he missed Saturday night,
right?
That it was a rebound, right? That was right there at his feet. I mean, it was exactly what you're talking about. Again, he missed, but that's what he's there for. That's that he finds that loose ball.
Yeah. So I was okay in that situation, that particular subbing.
And let's be honest, too, about finding the loose ball. We haven't been shooting a lot.
Well, so yeah, that goes back to last year, too. Again, why I'd like to see Hardware more, because God love Jameel Hardware. He has never not shot the ball.
Yeah, he and Jordan will put it in on frame.
Exactly.
I bet.
If there is no shot on frame to take.
You think Hardware comes in for Ambo next week?
On
Wednesday?
On Wednesday? Maybe. I mean, that would be going through my mind. I mean, I didn't even pick up on the fact that Herrera stayed on and Ambo stayed off. I was just...
But because also, Hardware was a forward when he was at, what was it,
Harrisburg.
I mean,
he was one of our leading scorers.
Yeah, he's a midfielder, but he's an upfront attacking midfielder. He can play where Ambo's been playing in that withdrawn striker role. So
nope, we're good.
It all makes perfect sense.
He can play on the wing, and Shiloh's a striker too.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
that's true. I didn't even.
Yeah,
think
again,
about that.
Shiloh's one of those guys I'd like to see more from, because I want him back next year, but I need him to do a little bit more for us.
And we know he's capable.
Oh, yeah.
Carlos, our friend Carlos, he wants to know what has to happen before we can officially annex Section 9 into the supporters' corner. They're already there. Section 9 is 90% St. Luligans.
I think next year it'll be an official annexation.
After the conversation me and Mike McHugh had 2 days ago, I can't comment.
There was a little bit of a dust-up at the end of the game the other night with people not getting along, but oh well. It's a long season, and there's bound to be a few
winning fixes everything.
Few drunk people at the end of a game.
There's a lot to that, Mitch.
Yeah,
winning fixes everything. If we were 3-0 up,
nobody would have a single conversation about any of this.
So yeah, I don't have any issues with what's going on there. Claude Carricker wanted us to. He said, "Will you please mention once again the All For One program and the collection of school supplies and canned goods for this game. Sure. Yes, we will. Please, on Wednesday, bring canned goods, bring school supplies, and drop them off at the tailgate area for us.
You know, go to a Deals, a Big Lots, a Dollar Tree, whatever it is.
Yeah, get a bunch of notebooks for a buck.
Yeah.
Pens, crayons, scissors, whatever.
You know, it's when you have nothing, something is better than nothing. And you can spend $5 there. It's worth it.
Right now, all of your Targets and Walmarts and Kmarts, they all have like a school supply set up at the very front of the store because kids are buying their back to school stuff. Just go through that aisle and throw four or five things in your cart and check out and don't even look at the receipt. Just
know you did the right thing.
$10, $15, throw it in a basket and you'll make some kid's day very, very happy.
It's two Frappuccinos.
Dude. There you go. So do that. Before you come Wednesday,
now,
please.
Now, what I would recommend is that you can go to a lot of Quick Trips where they have a 2-for-1 for Madrinas. Take that extra money you're saving.
Yes.
Put it towards.
Yes. And the last question. There were some more questions, but I think we've covered most of them throughout the topic. But last one, we're going to go Aaron Bounds. He wanted to know thoughts on, again, this was the MLS All-Star Week, so as is tradition, Don Garber comes on halftime and gives his little expansion speech. St. Louis is looking good, blah, blah, blah.
A dozen cities, he said.
He said a dozen cities. We know some of them. Again, it all comes down to the money.
Yeah.
Show me the money. And we have heard that the ownership is starting to take shape for a St. Louis NMLS team. The names I have heard, I don't want to out anybody because basically I don't want you guys to, you know, bombard a guy on Twitter, especially if it's not him. But the money is real. The people who I've heard are wealthy people. So it could happen. But again, like Matt said, $200 million.
It could have happened this morning, this afternoon, not so
much. But again, we've heard St. Louis FC is involved. You know, the principals that are behind our local club will be involved at some point or at some level in any MLS move, which is good. I think St. Louis FC is taking great pains to do things the right way. So as long as St. Louis FC is included in whatever becomes of a St. Louis MLS bid, I'll be happy. So
I'm having a great time right now. I'm not concerned, to be honest. I'm really not concerned.
And again, even if they said tomorrow St. Louis is getting the next MLS team, it's 2020 or 2021.
Yeah. I'll be 45.
I'll be really old.
45. I'll be taking you in it, you know.
I'll be at 55.
We'll be watching the games on MLS Live and doing the podcast in wheelchairs.
There you go.
Sadly, that's probably fairly accurate.
St. Louis is still in the running. St. Louis, you know, would be a nice market for the league. It's just a matter of finding somebody with $200 million that they're willing to give away.
I just saw All Floor One flashed on the screen again.
That's cool.
They are really, there it is.
There
again.
It is.
See?
On the electronic signboard, St. Louis this FC.
Upcoming games. I mean, this is fantastic. This is what we need to see.
So, if for nothing else, I'm glad this game came to town. So, some of those people who were there to see Liverpool or Roma, they might be looking at that and saying, oh, there's a St. Louis team? What's that about? And maybe they'll come.
I hope so. See us beat Swill Park.
And maybe they'll have fun with us, and it'll be silly, and they will come back.
It's their team.
So. Again, that's, you know, and that's the one thing I kind of, I've said several times today with the people getting, there were some Liverpool people getting upset, the whole no one likes
they're getting upset now.
Ooh. That's a goal for Roma.
Yep.
Oh, Edin Dzeko, you Bosnian lovely man.
Ah, the St. Louis Bosnian fans should be thrilled that Dzeko just scored. Yep. Okay.
Finishing my statement. You know, at the end of the day, it's great that you're a Liverpool fan, you're an United fan, you're an Arsenal fan, you're a Newcastle fan, whoever you're a fan of, but you picked that team. You know, unless you're Matt, who was born over there and born into a team, or your dad was a huge fan.
I'm still thinking 5 years from now he's going to come out and tell us he's not really English.
It's a good chance still.
I just wanted my son to get laid when in high school.
But this STLFC, this is your team.
Our team, 100%.
It's not a city or a county bullshit thing. This is the St. Louis team.
Here's how you know it's ingrained. My boss, not a big soccer fan, but he knows that I'm a big soccer fan.
This morning, Sammy Hagar owned a team, he'd be a soccer fan.
That's right. But this morning, he said to me as I walked into work, he said, "You excited about the game?" And I was thinking Swope Park on Wednesday. And I said, "Yeah, it's going to be tough, but yeah, we'll get 3 points and, you know, onward and upward." And he goes, "What are you talking about?" And I said, What are you talking about? He said, "Liverpool Roma, are you going tonight?" I said, "Oh no, I'm going to a game Wednesday night that matters." So, but that's, again, to me, the big game this week isn't Liverpool v Roma. It's St. Louis FC versus Swope Park.
My neighbor, I basically had the same conversation with my neighbor. She said, "Is there a big soccer game tonight?" I'm like, "Yes, but I'm not going." You know, same thing.
Yeah. So, come out and try St. Louis FC. Again, we saw somebody on the Reddit board say he doesn't go because he doesn't know the team. He doesn't know the players. Well, there's only one way to fix that.
Yeah. I'll introduce you to them.
Yeah. Literally. I mean, literally. When I'm walking off the field at the end of the game, and I'll say good game to whoever I'm walking by, but, you know, guys like Chad Bond or guys like Mike Ambersley will grab my shirt and, you know, say, "Hey, Brad, thanks for coming." I mean, again, you're not going to get that at MLS.
Robbie Fowler's not going to do that for you.
All right. Well, maybe he will, but
he will if you bring him some Coke.
But literally, I mean, these players are, you know, Pace was, you know, happy to get the man of the match bucket and giving high fives. And you know what I mean? It's a genuine experience, and you should come out and enjoy it while you can. Let's say that.
Because it's fun. It's your team. I live for it.
Yeah.
Even drawing 0-0 when we needed 3 points, I still had a blast.
We can't win every game. That's another thing that we need to mention. We can't win every game.
No.
I mean, you have to have realistic expectations.
Boy, just ask Louisville. Sorry.
It's always the referee's fault.
They win almost every game, so it's extra fun when they don't.
You know, there's some teams that need to learn how to lose in this league.
We've said that since day one.
You know, we've had a lot of practice at learning how to lose. But you can't expect to win every game. You can't look at the standings and go, we can beat Oklahoma City Energy. We should beat Oklahoma City. We can't. I'd love to.
Right.
But they're a good team too. And Chris Amda said it best. He said, "We played well against a good team." It was 0-0.
And I'll go one step further, why you should come out and support this team. Mitch and I talk about it all the time. You know, we'll be having a shitty week at work, but, you know, it'll be Wednesday, and Mitch will be like, 3 more days. You know, it gets me through the week, man.
Well, having a midweek game this week?
The offseason.
It was great.
The offseason is long because you're waiting.
I woke up this morning, I'm like, "God damn it, it's Monday."
USL has the longest offseason.
Well, next year the season's going to be longer, so there we go.
Woke up this morning, it was Monday. I'm like, "Fuck, it's Monday. This sucks." And I said, "Oh, midweek game."
That's right.
Changes the entire week.
Y'all beat them Rubes from Swope, man. I despise them.
Yep.
If they had a friendly at Bush, I wouldn't go watch them either. I despise them.
Their fans are colorful.
Never mind.
All right. That's all we've got for this week. Guys, anything else you want to add to the festivities?
No. Come out and see us next week at ITAP. We're going to give away those tickets. It's going to be awesome. Jeremy will answer your questions.
Bring a friend. It's fun. Have a beer at ITAP.
Get your tacos on at Mission Taco or a pizza or from Epic, because that's damn good stuff there.
Yep.
But this is a good chance that, you know, if you want to, you know, get your question answered by the GM of a professional soccer team.
That's right. And if you want to ask him off the air because you think you'll get a better answer than you will on the air, you can also do that. Wait till the podcast is over and stick around and talk to him.
And ITAP has the Dyson hand dryers.
They have the Dyson hand dryers. And you can win free baseball tickets to the St. Louis Cardinals soccer night. So that's another bonus. Anybody else? All right.
We will see you Wednesday night.
Yes.
The best things in life.